Thank you. Thank you so much, Randy. That boy can sing, can't he? I'm glad to have you all with us. We get folks here for the first time. Anybody here for the first time? All right. We don't make you do anything. We just welcome you. Thank you for coming. Somebody said they invited some folks off the beach, and there were two preachers who said they would come. Are they here? Are you two pastors who said they'd come? Okay. All right. Fine. Where else? Anybody else? Okay. We're glad to have you. It's the hardest thing in the world for a preacher to do, to listen to another preacher preach. Yeah. Somebody told me Billy Graham going to be there this morning. I said, I hope he can sing. You know, it's just something we do. And we're so glad this morning for the quadruplets, glorious grandchildren. Stand up. Look at you. Over here. All right. Oh, man. All right. We're glad again. We had some folks come from Arizona. That was good. We're glad to have them. See, yeah. Susie came from Texas with her husband. I said, y'all could have ridden with them. Not that big a thing. We're so glad to have you. We're glad to see some of my old Jitterbug friends. I got an invitation to Joseph Andre Putnam's birthday. 70 years old. Chicken Hicks died. He was 89 or something. 79, getting on up there. And a lot of our old friends, for you good old jitterbugs that are here, like me, it's getting late, and I wish you'd tell some of our friends. The clock is ticking. It's past tick time for a lot of you. And to get on down here and give it up, because you're not going to like where you're headed. I always like to hear Randy sing that song. That's one of my favorite songs, The Lighthouse. It reminds me of one cold winter night up in near Hatteras, Cape Fear, that area, goodbye, that a ship was coming through the fog and sensed something was wrong, saw a blinking in the distance. And the captain said, said we head on with another something out there. We're going to have a wreck. So he said, signal them to move to the east 3 degrees. We'll just pass. And so he sent that signal. The signal came back. Glad to receive your signal. You move 3 degrees. Oh, it made the captain hot. He said, this is a United States Navy vessel. We move for no one. Adjust your course 3 degrees and do it now. Came back, said, we're so glad to have the Navy in our area. Adjust your course immediately 3 degrees to avoid impact. Oh, he was hot. This is Admiral Bill Johnson. I am piloting a battleship of the United States Navy. Please understand, we move for no man. Rear Admiral Bill Johnson. Answer came back. Good to have you in our area, Admiral. Please adjust your course 3 degrees. Seaman First Class Robert Jones of the Lighthouse. So, the thing to find out is who needs to adjust their course. And if you do, I would suggest you do that. If you don't, we are so glad of that. I can't believe the Vice President was at Myrtle Beach Friday night and did not stay and visit with us this morning. Okay, can't imagine that. Didn't even call. Just ran right by. If you brought a Bible, turn to the book of Hebrews. book of Hebrews this morning. We don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews other than God wrote it. There's great debate among theologians as to who wrote it. But if they know who wrote the whole thing, I wonder why they care. And it will be over near the book of Revelation, so you will find your place. And we will cover about 8 verses and get further if we have time. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, and thank you that we can meet in the name of Christ Jesus by the sea. We thank you so much for providing a place for us to meet, and thank you for those who allow us to be here. We thank you for those who are on vacation, who get up and come to church to worship you rather than to stay in bed. And thank you for those who come regularly and support the work and the ministries that we have and are trying their best to reach this community for you. And thank you for the radio program and hope that it is reaching into homes and cars to people who maybe don't go to church. And thank you for all the things people do here. We thank you for your blessings. I ask that you be with Peggy, that you would touch her and heal her and bring her back to us. And be with Linda. May she heal and be able to get her prosthesis quickly. Be with little Bradley and be with Frankie, who had some physical problems this weekend here, wanted to be with us. Thank you for their testimony. I ask that you be with Keith Wise's granddaughter, who is in serious condition in the hospital in Winston. I would ask that they be able to solve that problem and that 11-year-old girl be allowed to live. And thank you for all you do, and ask you to remove me from this place, that indeed you be heard. That all that I say that should be forgotten, please make it be, and that which you would have remembered, please let it be. That the church be edified, your son be glorified, and the man near his tail be saved. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Gail Weeks here. Raise your hand, Gail, if you're here. Is Gail Weeks here this morning? She's not here this morning. She's generally here. She's always on the email. It always says something nice to us. She said how excited she was to get a card from me and Ann. And we're glad she enjoyed her card, but that just stopped that right where it is. Me and Ann are no different than you. The greatest present I get is not at Christmas. Your presence is my present. I get it every Sunday. And we thank you for that. Thank you for allowing us to be here, to live decently, and to be able to preach for you, and in the name of Jesus, on your behalf, for anything that's done here that results in the redemption of anybody, please understand it is just as much to your credit as it is to anybody else's, but all the credit is to he who died for us, so don't forget that. This morning in the book of Hebrews, we're going to talk about the supreme revelation. The book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ by John. We understand that. But you will find that the supreme revelation of Jesus Christ is found in the book of Hebrews. For it dwells on who he is and what he is and his supremacy in a ways that no other book does. And I was reading this and preparing for what we were going to do this morning, and then woke up again at 4 o'clock and cut the light on, and here I am reading again. And I said, this is just, it will ruin your head. The Bible had to be written by God. It's a supernatural book, and nothing can grab your attention, and you look at 4 or 5 little verses and begin to dwell on them and look under other verses that pertain to them, and it becomes unending. And in the dark of night, you say, what a wonderful thing is the Word of God, and only he could have put it together. And the writer of Hebrews says in verse 1, God, who at sundry times, meaning various times, and in diverse manners, meaning different measures, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Today there's much confusion in several areas of the church, people who are claiming to be prophets of God. I saw someone interviews the other day on television. This is so-and-so, gave his name from Alabama, wherever, and said he is a young prophet. And I'm saying, no. He may be a young preacher. He may be a young Christian. Maybe a fine young man, no doubt is, but a prophet he is not. You see, God spake in times by the prophets because he wanted no mistakes made. He wanted the complete revelation of who he was and what he was and what he was going to do. He wanted that to be so clear that no man could miss it. So upon the prophets of Isaiah and Ezekiel and all those, Samuel and all the good prophets we read their prophecies and sit in amazement as those of us who study such things see them coming to pass on the daily news. And we wonder how it is that these men who lived 2,000 and better years ago could write things that they knew not of, had not seen, and only had heard through the Holy Spirit of God who moved them to write. And we know that a penalty was put on them, that if anyone said they were a prophet and they proved otherwise, God would strike them dead. I would be very careful about announcing myself as a prophet in this day and time for the fear that the penalty may hold over. So the Bible said that God spoke through the prophets. When you go to seminaries and colleges and take various Bible courses, you will find that there are great men of intellect who debate heatedly on who wrote what book. Did Isaiah write Isaiah, or were there three Isaiahs? It gets so complicated and all. The devil achieves his purpose in the seminary. He gets people talking about the non-essentials so much, they forget why they're there. They forget what they should study. And they forget to tell the story of Jesus. They want to add their hypercriticism, and they want to add all they learn into that from the German theologians who mostly are in hell now, instead of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, the gospel is powerful. Ron Comfort, who wrote the Evidence Bible. If you don't have one, I'd go to the bookstore and get one. I'd get an Evidence Bible. It's a New Testament. And Ron Comfort wrote it. And he's plain and down to earth and tells it just like it is. And he's a great soul winner and goes out with Cameron, the boy who played on that family. What was it? You know, Kirk Cameron. He's a movie star. He got converted. Now he works with Ron, and they go out on the streets of California and witness and go into the parks and preach and do things. And he said, don't argue. Don't get into theological hair splitting with people. It's what the devil wants you to do. So you preach the gospel and let it go, because the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ is a powerful two-edged sword. And it will split a man, not only his body and bones, but it will split his spirit. And it will cut into his heart, even the non-believer. Because you see, the one who says he is a non-believer really is, because he had to not believe in something, didn't he? So God spake. The Bible said that God spake and told the prophets what to say. And in Colossians 1:16 in the New Testament, we see another issue of that remarkable story. Colossians 1:16 says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." The church was created by Jesus. Salvation was created by Jesus. The earth was created by Jesus. And look what else. In these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. That does away with those prophets, doesn't it? whom he's appointed heir of all things, by also he made the worlds. Look at it carefully. It doesn't say he made the world. It said by whom also he made the worlds. It wasn't long ago that some folks of the scientific community stood out in the yard and looked up into the sky and said, you know, I've counted them and there's 148 stars. So they agreed there were indeed 148 stars. Then someone came with an instrument called the telescope, and they could peer into the heavens and said, no, it's more than 148. There are thousands of those things up there. We go on today where we have the mega telescopes and the electronic telescopes and the ones flying around in outer space on satellites, and the report today is there are trillions of galaxies of stars. Unending. They don't know how many. They don't know how many worlds, not like this one, planets God has made. It was Albert Einstein, one of the smartest men who ever lived, we're told, who said, we don't know 0.5% about anything. And yet we go around with our degrees and robes and tassels on our square little hats like maybe we're intelligent. The angels must have a good sense of humor looking down on our stupidity, mustn't they? And God himself must get a good laugh out now and then when some theologian stands up and decides he is going to side with the evolutionist instead of the scripture about how the worlds were created. Those people who believe in the Big Bang theory have no idea. It was their mind that blew. Who being, verse 3 says, who being the brightness of his glory. Now, Jesus Christ is held up here as being the brightness of God. When we see the word glory, it's kind of foggy to us, isn't it? The glory of God is spoken of in Scripture as his effulgence, his brightness. You study and try to find out what that means, and we only get little hints. We find Paul as he in the midday sun of the desert where we're at war now. And he's on the road, and he's confronted by this Jesus. And his report was, I saw a light brighter than the noonday sun. He saw part of the glory of God, just part of. We know Moses met with God on the mountain in the cloud to receive the commandments. And upon coming down, he didn't meet face to face with all of God. He saw a part of him revealed. And the brightness that he faced at that time caused the face of Moses to glow for 2 weeks to the point that he had to wear a mask to face his people. We don't understand that. The Bible again says that God dwells in unapproachable light. We don't understand that. We understand it to the point that these people who had too much pizza before they preached the next Sunday and said they spent presence in the presence of God and went to heaven and came back had a stomach ache. No human being could stand in the unapproachable glory and presence of God Almighty without dissolving instantly. That's why when he comes, he will change our bodies from what they are now to the body like the Lord Jesus has. You see, we forget at times who we're talking about when we mention his name. We have heard the name of Jesus so much and seen the pictures on the wall and the church bulletins and the books we read and look at, and we're so used to seeing him just as a nice guy in a white robe and sandals, that he, to a large extent, has just become another man to us. To most people, Jesus is just another man. To most Christians, he may be their God, but they have him too small. He's a few inches taller than man. There are those in the theological community who are standing behind pulpits this morning who will tell you Jesus Christ was not born of a virgin. He was just a good religious man and is a good teacher and a good example that we should follow, and that's all there is to it. That man is a liar. I hope he gets saved, as now he's lost and on his way to hell. The sad part is he's being paid to take people with him. What a sad commentary. I see songs on the radio and was surfing through the TV the other night looking for something and ran across MTV. Instantly you run across, and they were announcing they were having a special guest that night, Jesus Christ, mocking the Savior. You see, I was eating lunch at a restaurant, and I hear a lady next to me. Every other word is, "Oh, my God." Did you not know that's taking the Lord's name in vain? And I hear children say it. Every other TV program is full of it. The purpose of which is to lower the standing in the mind of men just who Jesus is. The Scripture tells us without a shadow of a doubt that the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary's cross, is the Lord God Almighty who created the heavens and earth. Make no mistake about it. In the Scriptures, Jesus says, "He who does not believe I am," and that will be in capitals in your Bible, meaning he who does not believe I am the Yahuvistic I am of the Old Testament, that I am the I am who was in the burning bush and told Moses, when they say, "Who sent you? What are you going to say?" I'll tell you what to tell them. You tell them, "I am that I am sent you." The self-existent one, the one who needs no one else. Perfectly happy and adjusted to get along before you came to mind, but wanted you, Moses, and those who shall follow you to be in fellowship with him just because he likes you, just because he loves you. And when we find out that that God is the God who died on Calvary's cross, who shed his blood that I could be saved, who didn't want me to go to hell, who loved me so much he paid the price of my sins, how can anybody in a sane mind understand that and reject him for who he is? The Bible says in verse 3, he is the express image of his person. The word express image means the stamp of, the mark of. The express there in the Greek means, stamp of. The image means like on a coin. They'd put the image of Nero, a lookalike. We would say that. It was supposed to be an exact image. And they said, "Well, that isn't him, though. That isn't God. That's just a picture." No. No, the word there, image, means substance of in the Greek. Jesus is the substance of God. He is also called the fulfillment of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, can you explain the Trinity? No. Do you believe it? Yes. Why can't you explain it? God didn't bother. He just said it was. What else do you need? He just told you there were more worlds than you ever saw, and you didn't believe that till you got a telescope, did you? It says that he made, scriptures say that he made everything seen and unseen. You see, we didn't believe there was anything you couldn't see, and some people still don't. You'll witness to people and they'll say, well, I don't know, I don't believe in God and all that. I only believe in what I can see. Did you ever have a cold? Yeah. Did you see it? No. Were you ever in love? Yeah. Did you ever see it? No. You know what justice is? Yes. You ever seen any? No. Just seen the results of it. Never seen the wind blow. Guarantee it does. You live in our part of the country, you know it does. But have you ever seen it? No. Well, I have a friend in Florence. Bless his heart, Bobby McGinnis, and I keep trying to reach him with the gospel. He knows. My goodness, he knew my daddy. Used to help set up the tent, for heaven's sake. And he announced to us a year or so ago that he only believed in things he knew. I said, boy, that's limiting things, isn't it? That is really putting the cap on things. As I recall, he never got out of high school. Think about only believing in things you know. That wouldn't help much with milk production, would it? You don't know how a yellow cow eats green grass, gives white milk, do you? I don't either. Neither you nor I know what electricity is. Can you imagine trying to live long without it? We don't know what it is. We know so little that we have to have a reference guide. We have to have help. God said they're poor and they're ignorant and they're blind and they're wretched and they're naked. Read the book of Revelation. That's me and you. Said they need help. I've got to get my word to these people. If you were God, how would you do that? Well, he could write it in the stars, you know, like these things go by on the blimps with the message. Well, he could do that. That's no problem. He could get it to us a thousand different ways, and the picture of him's everywhere. If you can look around the creation and not figure there's somebody who made it, you aren't a scientist, you're an idiot. But he said, I'll pick prophets, and I will tell them exactly what I want people told, so there'll be no mistake. And he chose the Old Testament prophets, and you need to read them. And you need to think of them living thousands of years ago and with the education or none that they had. Read those prophecies and the wisdom and see how it all came together and was put together without error and can't be contradicted after thousands of years. And if you can come away from that, not understanding that the Word of God is both the physical Word of God, is Jesus, and the written Word of God, what we have from His prophets and from His lips, is what God had to say to man. If you can't figure that out, there's something wrong with you, not wrong with the Scriptures. Too many people have street corner theology, and they believe what Granny believed. I know of a situation now, Christians they embarrass Jesus so bad, it's awful. I know of the case right now of a woman dying. Two of her relatives are in the room. She's going home. Both her relatives are going home, but one of them won't speak to the other because one of them won't handle snakes and drink arsenic. And she's based her whole faith on this. Bible never said to drink arsenic or to handle snakes. Legend has it that some of the prophets were saved from that. Scripture shows Paul was once off the shipwreck, built a fire, and poisonous snake attached himself to his hand. He shook him off in the fire and went on. Those who saw it stood by and said, he'll be dead in a minute. No, God protected him for a special purpose. But trying to pass wisdom on to you, I'm not the smartest man in the world, but I'd advise you don't pick up any rattlesnakes and don't drink any arsenic. We have found that when Jesus came and was the express image of God, of his person, it says, that when we look at Christ, we're looking at God. Well, how do you know that? You guessing? No, I can read. Philip asked Jesus one time, when are you going to show us the Father? Righteous indignation is all right. It's okay to get mad on occasion. And I think Jesus got a little hot there with him. He said, Philip, boy, how long have you been working with me here? All right, well, 2 years now. Seen the dead rise? Yeah. The blind see? Yeah. The deaf hear? Yeah. The cripple walk? Yes. The leper healed? Yes. Over and over and over and over and over. You've seen this? Yes. You hear me tell you where I came from? I came from above. You are of the earth. You see me perform miracles that no man could do. Have you seen this? Yes. And you still ask me to show you the Father? Son, I and the Father are one. And in the original, that means one substance. He was looking at God and didn't know it. You see, had he not been God, the death of a martyr wouldn't save my soul. There have been a lot of martyrs. The death of a guru wouldn't matter much to me. The death of a sinful man who had committed one sin couldn't forgive mine, because upon committing that one sin, he disqualified himself. It had to be God who died on Calvary's cross to save a wretch like me, as the song goes. Understand who he is. I hear people use his name as a curse word. You've heard it yourself. Puts shivers on me every time I hear it. I used to get mad, and now I just pray for him. Say, Lord God, please. Please let them find out who you are. For the book itself says, God will not hold him guiltless takes his name in vain. And to the large part, we've forgotten in our country, unfortunately, is quickly turning against the Christian message. The attacks now, not only on the Bible, as you know, we've had it out of school a long time ago. It's gone from most of our colleges. If it's taught as all, it's taught as literature. There's an active group of people who are not only wanting to remove Christianity from this country, they want to remove any semblance and reference to the Lord Jesus Christ from this country.